Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Monday, September 25th. And today we're going to talk about the NFL and Trump, Obamacare and the Senate GOP, and I've got an American Thinker post that I want to share with you. We'll be right back after we hear from one of our sponsors. Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, and we've got a lot to get into today. You know, this NFL controversy with President Trump and the NFL players kind of blew up over the weekend, and there's a lot of, you know, a lot of stuff going on with respect to that particular controversy. I do want to begin, though, pointing you to a post that I have over at the American Thinker. This is a post that came out today where I talk about what is happening in Cuba. Look, on the humanitarian side, Irma, the hurricane, was devastating to Cuba. Cuba was very hard hit. You may remember when the hurricane was going on that the hurricane was like sitting on top of Cuba for several days. It was, the damage was very severe, particularly to a lot of the northern towns. In fact, the place where I was born was hit very hard by the hurricane. There's a lot of damage, a lot of infrastructure damage. So Cuba, especially now that we have diplomatic relations with Cuba, Cuba is looking for funds. And they've opened one of these accounts where you can contribute money. And I understand, look, a lot of people want to help, and I get that. And I understand. And I can see people acting from their hearts. And that's good. That's a good thing. But you got to be very careful when you put money in the hands of the Cuban government. Because, first of all, they have a tendency to keep it for their own private families. But also, it may be illegal to actually contribute money to a fund from the Cuban government because of the U.S. embargo. So you got to be very careful. My suggestion is, if you want to help Cuba, and that's a very legitimate and noble idea because the island was hit very hard by the hurricane, my suggestion is you do it through religious organizations like Catholic Charities, like others that exist out there that have done this before, because at least they've got the legal standing to collect money, and you know they're going to take it to Cuba, and you know it's going to go directly to the people. So be very careful with the Cuban government asking you for money, because that may turn out to be illegal, no matter how much you want to help the people of Cuba. Let me say hello to our friend George Rodriguez. How are you, George?
Real good. How are you?
Pretty good. I was just talking about Irma, the Hurricane Irma, which is, of course, not the one that hit Texas. That was Harvey. But you mentioned this weekend you were going down to help out. How are things coming down there?
Well, they seem to be moving along pretty well. The devastation is tremendous. I mean, whole communities are just wiped out. And more than anything else, the biggest problem that they've got is restoring the water service. A lot of the water mains were ripped up and destroyed. The electricity pretty much is back, which is very, very good. Unfortunately, there are no houses to connect it to in many cases. So it's moving along. The cleanup is coming along pretty good. One of the biggest problems that they are having now is finding enough places where they can put all of this, refuse, all of the garbage that has been collected. Sad situation. One of the saddest situations that I saw was the continuing saga of the poor animals that were left behind. Lots of little dogs, lots of dogs wandering the streets, still looking for their owners. Obviously displaced and obviously disoriented still. So that was pretty sad. But other than that, things are beginning to move along pretty good.
Well, that's good. And you were down as part of a church,
down to Port,
right? Which is
Port Aransas. I was down in the Port Aransas, just north of Corpus. That was one of the hardest areas.
Exactly. And I bring up the fact that you went down with a church because I think the role of churches in this tragedy has been fantastic. Lots of different denominations doing exactly what you did. And I'm very proud. I mean, it really shows you the volunteer attitude that people have. And churches, I don't think we sometimes give them enough credit for what they do. You know, obviously, the governor and the mayor and stuff like that, they had a very difficult job too, and they did it fairly well. But, man, all these little churches going down, all these groups like the one you went down, it's like you're bringing not just money or food. You're bringing a lending hand and a face and a smile, and I think that's a tremendous thing. Well, I wanted to get your thoughts today on three topics. The third one is a rather quick one, and that's Maxine Waters. have you ever seen anything more embarrassing than Maxine Waters? You were in Washington, right? You worked in the executive branch under President Reagan and the first Bush, I believe. So you probably saw a lot of Congress people, and you probably saw a few Congress people who were critical of the Republicans and maybe even a couple of them that were wacky. This lady, though, she is setting new standards of what I would call disrespectful behavior. I mean, this lady is really an embarrassment. If I lived in her district, I'd be embarrassed by what she's doing, George.
She is, I mean, I've had the opportunity 4 years ago, 5 years ago, I had an opportunity to testify in front of her at a committee on immigration. And I will tell you, you know, in person, she's every bit as much as wild as she is in on the TV. She seems, I asked some folks after that testimony, you know, what is it about her that why does she keep getting elected? And the resounding response that I got was that apparently the people in her district like this street toughness they call it, that where she gets in people's faces and says the outrageous things. And, that might play well in her district, but it doesn't really help her, the rest of her. You know, I mean, she's supposed to be trying to work things with administrations and with other colleagues. And when she behaves like that, I mean, I will tell you, very few people work with her. Very, very few people up on the Hill work with her, which I think is another source of her anger and her cockiness in trying to say that people don't like her, again, because she's female and she's black. Well, I got news for you. People don't like you because of the way you behave.
Exactly. Uh-huh. No, she's really, I mean, she's embarrassing. I mean, whenever I've seen her interviewed, she doesn't seem to have much command of the issues. She's about as she's demagoguery in every sense, and a real embarrassment. And if the people of her district like this style, I can appreciate that. But my goodness, what results is she bringing home?
Exactly. That's exactly right.
That's exactly right. You know, they cannot be much of anything. Well, let me jump a little bit here into this NFL President Trump controversy. Now, I know you're a football fan, so am I. And the Dallas Cowboys did not play on Sunday, so I took it upon myself to not to watch any games yesterday. Now, a couple of times the highlights were inevitable, but I'm just saying I went out of my way not to watch any games. And I understand a lot of people did the same thing because the ratings for Sunday, especially Sunday night, were not that good. And Sunday night is a big game for the NFL. That's a big moneymaker for them. But I certainly appreciate, George, that people have feelings about their communities. If I was a black young man playing in the NFL, I'd be very concerned about my community too. I mean, the black community has a lot of serious problems, but I guess I would do it differently. I wouldn't kneel during a football game. I would see how I can help the community. For example, how I could do something about some of these the problem of black and black crime, The inner city schools, a huge disaster. In other words, I would try to do something positive where I could bring about a good result. You know, I might, out of my own pocket, get a scholarship for a young woman or a young man in a poor district, let's say, representative of my city, Dallas, whatever it may be. That's what I would do. And I think, George, at least from my standpoint, these players would get a lot more respect if they did stuff like that rather than these, you know, nonsense of kneeling down, especially in London. I mean, they did it in another country, which is pretty pretty disrespectful to begin with. So if they don't get their act together, I think these ratings are going to continue to drop, George.
I agree. What we've got here is a display of disrespect, not a display of anything else other than just extreme political disrespect. And that's how it's playing out, and that's what's happening. Now, the situation that I see is twofold here. Is first of all, they're doing it while they're on the job. You know, I as a fan and as a consumer pay all the advertisers, and I pay the NFL either as a fan when I buy a ticket or by watching the TV and, you know, helping its ratings. I pay for it. They are working right now while they are on the field. In my opinion, that right there should not be a reason for them, should be a reason enough for them not to behave that way. They should be respectful of the fan, and they're not. They are grandstanding. They are showboating. They are behaving in a manner that kind of throwing it in my face type situation. That's number one. Number two, the owners and the players forget that they are playing in arenas that, for the most part, by large, those arenas are subsidized and paid for by tax money. According to the Taxpayer Protection Allowance, Alliance rather, which is a watchdog group in Washington D.C., 29 of the 31 stadiums, 29 of them, have received public funding for construction and renovation. 29 of them. Taxpayers have spent something like $7 billion on stadiums for the NFL, just for the NFL. Now, given that, don't you think that they should be a little bit more respectful of the taxpayer and the fan? So between the two issues, I think they're going to hurt themselves. I think that they are stepping out of line. If they want to, you know, everybody keeps saying, well, it's their First Amendment right. It is their First Amendment right while they are not at work. That's when their First Amendment right. I mean, if I am at work and I want to carry around a sign that says whatever, you know, I can be fired. I should be fired because that's not the place to do it. You know,
right.
on the other hand, if these characters are supposed to be, if they are supposed to be showing, putting their best foot forward on behalf of the NFL, it's failing. And the NFL should be worried
failing.
About that.
Oh, it's failing miserably because, and this is where I think President Trump touched the nerve with what he said. Look, I will grant you, George, that sometimes President Trump has a way of being perhaps a little bit too blunt. I would not have said it the way he said it, but that's the way he is. I mean, you know, it's like Harry Truman. They tell me Harry Truman was kind of that way too. He was very blunt and to the point, and wasn't always the most diplomatic person, but that's Harry Truman. This is, you know, Donald Trump, and that's just the way they are. He's not a nice little diplomatic talker like, let's say, the first Bush, who was, you know, very elegant in how he spoke and all of that. That's not Trump. So I'm not going to say that I would have said it exactly the way he said it. I probably would not have said it that way. But the issue is the issue. The issue was not created by Trump. The issue was created by the players. And I agree with you 100%. If you want to tell me that there are serious problems in the country, fine. I'm just as concerned about these inner cities as anybody else because they're part of my community, if not directly, indirectly they are. And very often the problems in these inner cities come to us who live in the suburbs one way or another. So it's not like, you know, it's another planet. You know, they're part of our neighborhood. They're part of us. So I think we should be talking about the crime in these communities. We should be talking about the quality of life. We should be talking about the breakdown of family, which is a huge factor in these communities, the absence of men in these young men's lives, and the public schools, which are a disaster in many of these inner cities. I am more than willing to have that conversation and to have an honest conversation about all of this and to hear what many of these young men have to say. But don't do it that way, like you say, at work. Because, when you're wearing, and I don't think this is going to happen in the Dallas Cowboys game today, because Jerry Jones has been pretty clear that he doesn't want to, that he's not going to put up with it. But when you're wearing, I was thinking of Jacksonville Jaguars. That's the one that I was thinking of. Jacksonville happens to be a city with a huge military tradition, a huge military base. And when you're wearing that uniform and you kneel in London, George, I have to believe that they weren't selling tickets before they went to London in Jacksonville. I think the empty seats is going to grow even more in Jacksonville because people just, you know, it's this, in, like you said, in your face, George. This kind of stuff just doesn't wear well with me. In-your-face politics. Frankly, it's almost like the Emmys, if we can go back to that. The Emmys. The idea that I'm going to turn on to watch the Emmys to see who won this award or that award, and every 30 seconds I have to hear an attack on Trump, after a while I just shut it off. A lot of Americans did too, as we hear from the ratings. So I think there's these people, George, they're shooting themselves in the foot, these NFL owners who don't seem to have the they don't seem to have the toughness to say, hey, guys, you're working for me. You're on the job. Cut it out. This is no time for politics. That's what I find very, very disturbing, that the owners have not put their foot down, George.
That's exactly right. I think that, you're either in charge or you're not. But I think that the children have taken over in the case of the NFL teams. It's out of control. I think that, again, we recognize that there are problems, like you said, and we recognize that there are feelings that people have to express, but I don't want to see it done, while they're being paid, while they're on the job. Do it afterwards. You can have a little rally afterwards. You can do whatever you want to afterwards. The other thing is that really irritates me is the way that the sports channel ESPN has championed it and carries on with it. I mean, it's just incredible that they don't have anybody that sounds like us, a conservative, arguing on behalf of the taxpayer or the fan. I have yet to hear somebody get on there, and I think that all it does is just add fuel to the fire.
Right. Well, the reason there's not a lot of people like us on there, George, is because a lot of us are not watching ESPN. They're also having serious rating problems.
True.
Now, not all of it is because of the flag. I mean, I think there's other factors from what they tell me, but I think the flag, at least in the games this weekend, I think the flag was a big factor. Well, let's talk a little bit about Obamacare and the GOP. It's a negotiation in progress. It's a work in progress, so we don't want to write it off yet. But it does seem to me interesting that they're having a very hard time getting 52 Republicans. They get like 48 or 49, but there's always a couple of them missing. And they're having a very and I would like to know, if I was talking to the lady up in Alaska, or even John McCain, by the way. And by the way, speaking of John McCain, just a side note for a second, I just heard that he was given the very last prognosis for John McCain is not very good. That he's apparently I almost have difficulty criticizing John McCain at the moment, but I'll do so politely. He ran for repeal, and so did the lady in Alaska, and so did Ron Paul. And now they're getting technical on me. Now they're saying, well, I know, but we have to have the Senate has to go back to order. I mean, stuff, a lot of technical stuff that at the end of the day, I don't think pleases a lot of people like you and I, who thought that we gave him the House, we gave him the Senate, we gave him the presidency, and now they're telling us, well, technical reason. I mean, you know, after a while, it really starts to wear on you, and you say, you know what? No, don't get it done. Don't give me these technical explanations. Just get it done. Get it done. So I'm anxious to hear your thoughts, George.
Well, you know, I keep coming back to the original ads that the Democrats ran when the first attempts to repeal were discussed about two, three, maybe 4 years ago. Remember the granny being pushed off the cliff?
Yeah, by a fellow
Ryan,
right?
Yeah, right. I really do believe that a lot of these Republicans are very, very scared of the backlash. I believe that they are very, very frightened that there will be a backlash against them in their home districts, and that they will somehow not be able to respond or to answer. And we've got to admit, it is. I mean, I was listening to a clip by Joe Behar on The View the other day. And, you know, her and Jimmy Kimmel were talking about, you know, how awful it is that, you know, people are not being taken care of. And a lot of people are not being taken care of. A lot of people are dying because they can't get proper access to health care. But those, you know, are very, very few. And if there was a mechanism to catch those, I'm sure that we could. But it's the emotionalism that is just getting carried away, just scaring these folks. And I think that that is the biggest issue that we've got, is this fear factor of some of these congressmen and senators.
Well, I agree with that. These emotions can often be very effective. But I will tell you that, you know, if Joy Behar, or whatever her name is, was complaining about all these people who are not being taken care of, my first question to her would be, but I thought Obamacare was going to do that.
That's exactly right. And there's nobody to answer that. That's right.
Yeah, I mean, or nobody to ask them that, I guess.
Yeah, nobody's asking
that. I mean, it seems like, yeah, nobody's saying, okay, great, all these people are out of coverage or whatever. But I thought, you know, we're in the seventh year of Obamacare. I thought that that's what Obamacare was going to do. My sense is that many of these emotional arguments, George, can be effective and maybe a very, very close race. But if you have a very good candidate who has the ability to respond, you should be able to respond by saying, okay, you bring up this isolated case about this isolated baby who is very sick, and thanks to Obamacare, there's no, pre-existing condition or no limit to how much they can spend. That's true. But then I would turn it around and say, that's a very isolated example. What about the millions of others who don't have access to health care because they cannot afford it because of Obamacare? In other words, I just think that I think that some of these Republican senators, like the lady up in Alaska, I don't know if she's trying to cut a good deal for herself by maybe getting more money. That's what they're doing now. I guess
they're trying
to say, okay, well, you know, How can we bribe you, I guess? And maybe that's, you know, they did the same thing, frankly, to pass Obamacare. But I think this idea that is on the floor right now, the idea of sending it back to the state, I would have to believe that a Senator Manchin or the senator from Dakota, the senator from Montana, these conservative Democrats, I would have to think that it would be appealing to them to send it back to the states. I don't know why. You know, again, Obamacare is not working, and that tends to get lost in this whole debate, George.
That's right. That's right. It really, you know, I just don't think that the argument, the narratives that are being used are effective. I mean, too often what I hear when people are discussing Obamacare from our side, from the conservative side, they get into the weeds and they lose people. It's very, very difficult to get, you know, to keep it simple, because it has been so complex. But the fact of the matter is that it's not working, it's not serving the people, and at the same time, it is extremely expensive. if they just concentrated on those three things, I think that, you know, it'd be a whole lot better. But emotionalism and the inability to explain things, I think, are killing our side, are scaring.
No, I agree. And we don't seem to have, you know, we don't seem to have a lot of people who are willing to take them on head on.
That's
and say,
it.
Okay, you know, you have an interesting story there, but what about the thousands of other people who just want basic health insurance and cannot afford it? In other words, I think you can make an argument to replace and repeal Obamacare, but I regret the fact that so many of our people get caught up in all of these senatorial technicalities about the rules of the Senate and all that kind of stuff. Look, the Democrats passed Obamacare by reconciliation, as I recall. So why can we not repeal it that way as well? Well, George, I want to thank you for your time, as always.
I agree.
Thank you for your time, as always. And I really appreciate the great work you and your friends are doing down in South Texas by going down there and, you know, lending a hand. I think that is really great that you're doing that. And please congratulate your friends who are going down there with
you. Thank
you.
Yeah, we're going down again Saturday. Yeah, we're going down again next Saturday.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think it's wonderful. I think it's absolutely
thank
great.
Thank you very much, sir.
Hey, all right, thank you. Have a great week, George.
You too. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you so much. George Rodriguez, our good friend from South Texas, conservative in South Texas, very active down there. And as you can see, also active in the recovery, helping people recovering from Harvey. We'll be right back. We're going to hear from our friend Carlos and come right back.
This is Carlos Quedes, Harpist, and I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Nola Brasserie Authentic Cajun and Creole Restaurant, located at 1201 Main Street, downtown Dallas. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy jazz at 7:30 until midnight. So make your reservation today at 469-872-1820.
My good friend Carlos at Nola's on Saturday nights. He's also playing at different places during the week. I would suggest if you have Facebook, just look him up, and he will post on Facebook where he's playing, and he's playing in lots of different places around Dallas. A very popular performer, and you know something? Everywhere he goes, the food is pretty good. So not only are you going to hear some good music, but you're going to hear some. Or you're going to eat, I should say, some very good food. Again, just a thought about this NFL situation. Look, guys, I appreciate the fact that the players have opinions, and I appreciate the fact that they have feelings and they have concerns, and that's a wonderful thing. But don't stick it in my face during the game. Do it on your own time. And I think if you did it on your own time, I think there'd be a lot more fans who wouldn't be complaining about it. And again, I go back to the ratings. The NFL keeps having ratings like it did this weekend. There's going to be some real worrying at the NFL headquarters because they need those ratings. Those television ratings are vital to them. Thank you for listening, folks. Have a wonderful day. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.